2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 18, these are God's words. And it came to pass, when Yahweh was about to take up Elijah to heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for Yahweh has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for Yahweh has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that Yahweh will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for Yahweh has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me, Elijah's." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, with horses of fire, and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, and said, "Where is Yahweh, God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets, who were from Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look, now there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of Yahweh has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." Therefore they sent 50 men. And they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, one of the things that we see in this passage, or see an example of in this passage, is that God keeps calling new servants. Men are dust, and to dust they shall return after the fall. We must leave this world. Although part of the grace of God is in part displayed here, as Elijah is the second man to not die. You remember Enoch was the first. He walked with God 300 years after becoming the father of Methuselah, and then he was not, for God took him. And Elijah here is taken up into heaven alive, a reminder that God has provided a redeemer, and that the Lord Jesus would come and he would die the death that we deserved, so that the deaths of believers are like a falling asleep in the Lord. They are not punitive, but become the means, the mechanism by which we are made perfect in holiness and immediately pass into glory. And their bodies are so said to rest in their graves that the scripture calls it sleep, although it is the sleep of death, as the Lord Jesus makes clear when he says our friend Lazarus sleeps, and he means death. And the disciples are like, "Oh, well, then he'll get better." And then Jesus tells them plainly, "No, Lazarus is dead." Although he was going to get better. So there's a reminder of that in Elijah's being taken up. But Moses died, and Joshua came after him, and the Lord had to command him multiple times to be strong and courageous, because the Lord would be with him as he had been with Moses. And there's something similar here. Elijah is about to be taken away, and everybody knows it. The school of the prophets at Bethel know it, and the school of the prophets at Jericho know it, and when they ask Elisha about it, it turns out Elisha knows it. And so the question is, how will the work of God by the word of God continue? Because things are not going well in the northern kingdom. And the only thing they have going for them is that the Lord is patiently persisting with them by his word, and particularly his word in the mouth of the prophets. Well, Elisha seems to know, although he has a great esteem for Elijah. First of all, he's going to spend every last second with Elijah that he can. Elijah keeps giving him instructions to go away, and he keeps saying, nope, not if I have any choice in the matter. I'm going to spend every moment I can with you. And we find out, I think, in part, why. Because when Elijah's taken up, Elisha says two things. First, he says, my father, my father. Elijah had come to him to be near as a father to him, and was, ministerially speaking, as far as discipling him and apprenticing him, a father in the Lord. Very similar to how Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the Lord and a son in the ministry. The second way that we see how much or in what way Elisha esteems Elijah is he says, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. He was of the opinion that it was not the armies that the kings were marshaling that were the protection of Israel, but that Israel was protected by the fact that there was a faithful man in Israel who could call upon the name of God and who would speak God's word, and that God was preserving his people through the means of and for the sake of that man. And so Elijah meant so much to Elisha that he refused to be parted from him. And that's all good and well until God does the parting. When a chariot of fire and comes and separates him with horses of fire in verse 11, then Elisha has no say in the matter. But he does see Elijah get taken up in the whirlwind. And it's interesting that Elijah got taken up in the whirlwind for whatever reason. Maybe I saw a picture or something when I was a kid. I thought the chariots of fire and the horses of fire had taken Elijah away, but no, they separate the two prophets and the whirlwind takes him up. And he, I assume, gets hidden in the whirlwind, but his mantle falls down. And yet, for all of the esteem that Elisha had for Elijah, he knew that Elijah was not in himself the goodness or the power that Elisha had so come to appreciate, but that it was the Spirit of God. And we know this in two different ways. First, when Elijah asks him what he can do for him, Elisha says, I would like to have a double portion of your spirit. And if you add up actually the miracles that Elijah is described as having performed, and Elisha is about to be described as performing, Elisha does do roughly, depending on how you count them, exactly twice as many miracles. But that assumes that we have recorded all of the miracles, which is not necessarily the case. But he asked for a double portion of his spirit. So he knows that it's God the Holy Spirit who is using Elijah. And then the second way is when he has the mantle and he comes back to Jordan, he asks, where is Yahweh, the God of Elijah? When he smacks the water with the mantle. And so he knows that the power is not in the man. He has a great esteem for the man. And yet he knows that the power is in the Lord. So he doesn't trust in the man. He doesn't hope in the man. Now, the prophets, the school of the prophets of Jericho, were not so spiritually well off as Elisha. Because even though they observe that that the Jordan parted for Elisha, just like it had previously done for Elijah, and they said, oh, Elisha has the spirit of Elijah, they thought that even if the spirit has passed from Elijah to Elisha, Elijah was such a great man in himself that they still needed him. And so they're desperate to go on this wild goose chase, even though the one who now has the spirit of Yahweh tells them not to go, and keeps on telling them not to go until they pester him so much that he just gives in and lets their 50 strong men run all over the country for 3 days looking for Elijah. And they come back and they say, we didn't find him. And Elisha basically says, yep, told you so. You should listen to me. I'm a prophet now. But it's a reminder that as great a gift as those men whom God makes faithful are, as great a gift as those men whom God uses are, it is God himself who is the great gift. And he is the one who uses them. And when he takes one away, he will start using another. God keeps calling new servants. And he is the same God from one generation to the next. It's a great encouragement to us. Because like the man in Psalm 66 yesterday, who realized the way that God was using his trouble was the way that God had used the troubles of God's people in the past, and that it was the same God at work in his own life. Well, so also for us. We have the same God at work in our lives, at work in each of your lives, at work in the ministry here at the church. And should he take me, should he take someone else that that you have a great esteem for, and even a proper esteem because of the grace, sustained faithfulness in the man, or the way that God has used the man, yet he will still be the same God, and he will still be working. And you may even look to him to make you a servant that he uses for a season until he takes you and calls and uses someone else. It's a great, great comfort and encouragement to know that it is Yahweh, the Spirit of Yahweh, who had so used Elijah and then who was willing to use Elisha and even down to our day, still at work among us, even as we just heard in the Lord's Day morning sermon this past Lord's Day. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you that we don't have Moses or Elijah, but we have your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we thank you that your Son has poured out your Spirit and that you are still using men on earth today. And we pray that you would be pleased to use us, and that your Spirit would attend us, that you would keep us faithful, that you would bless the work of our hands, and especially in spiritual things. We pray for Mr. Charles from the sauna today and the other man, that you would cause the gospel that they heard to persist with them until they are ashamed and give in. That your Spirit would give life and faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. And we pray for us, Lord, that we might be used of you in this season that you have given us to be on the earth. And that you would make us to love and respect the men that you use in our lives, particularly to bring us your word. But that you would make us to know that it is you upon whom we depend and to whom all the praise and the glory are due, so that we might have hearts rightly turned to you Give all these things, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.